The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't really want to preach on this psalm today, honestly. Psalm 23 conjures up so many softened paintings found in so many church basements. So often when I think of Psalm 23, I picture serene, natural beauty and cuddly sheep wandering around in delight and peaceful bliss. But this week, I wasn't feeling much serenity or peace. The death of pregnant mother of four, Charlena Lyles, in our city last Sunday morning at the hands of police made me want to read Psalm 22 that Jesus quotes on the cross as he yells in anguish to God. I know some of you feel similar. I've heard that from you. And if we're going through psalms of that anguish nature, I wanted to preach on Psalm 88, which never resolves and stays in the pain. I wanted to at least sit again with Psalm 13 from last week that Steve preached on. I wanted to meditate on how long, O Lord, will you forget forever? How long will you hide your face? I resonated with Psalm 13 this week and felt it gave words to our groaning as a city. How long must we bear pain in our souls and have sorrow in our hearts as we see black people be diminished, demeaned, and degraded? How long, Lord? How long? I was still in Psalm 13, and I wasn't sure how to be in Psalm 23 this week, and I knew that I didn't really want to try. And this is why. I am not a fan of receiving platitudes. Rachel Held Evans, who's a blogger and writer, says of some Christians' reaction to pain in her book, Searching for Sunday. She says, people often fit into church until the divorce, the diagnosis, the miscarriage, the depression, the loss of a job, the doubt, the death, until someone comes out or asks questions, or until an uncomfortable truth is spoken aloud. And what these people find is when they bring their pain and doubt or their uncomfortable truth to church, someone immediately grabs it out of their hands to try to fix it, to make it go away. Bible verses are quoted, assurances are given with good intentions, but also with fear. Christians scour their inventory for a cure. I love that quote. Perhaps you've experienced this, and perhaps you, like me, you've done it too. Tried to smooth over people's pain, to soothe my own discomfort of sitting in the pain with them. I've done that. This week, I didn't want to dive into the words of a psalm that was all about fluffy sheep. I didn't want shallow words. I'd experienced people quoting Psalm 23 to me in times of pain, and I'd quoted it myself to others. And it felt trite in the midst of anguish. I'd seen it used as a platitude. I worried this psalm wouldn't have anything to say for what's happening around us, to us, and in us. And I simply didn't want to read it, not here and not now. But I needed to try, right? I don't want to shy away from Scripture in fear of what it might bring to me. So I broke out the commentaries, and I studied my notes on the text that I took in seminary from my class. And in some notebooks I keep at the bottom of my bookshelf that are full of all sorts of scribbles of class notes and drawings, too, because that's sometimes how I pay attention. I found something in those notes, those scribbled pieces of paper in my office, that made my soul rest for just a moment. I had notes from a seminary Hebrew class where we translated pieces of the Old Testament in its original language. I found in my notes a paraphrase of Psalm 23 that my professor in class, we had translated together. It recognizes the vast meanings of Hebrew words, which don't always have easy parallel translations in English. The paraphrase we made fleshed out a couple pieces of the psalm and made familiar words into phrases that spoke to me anew as we translated it at that time and this week as I looked at it again. Can I share our work with you this morning? Would that be all right? If you want to close your eyes and focus on what you hear, please feel free. I'll read it slowly. You can take a moment to meditate on it if you wish. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I won't be empty. God makes me relax in green and restful pastures. God leads me beside still waters. God returns my soul to where it should be and leads me in grooves for healthy living for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest of valleys of shadows and death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, from this experience, I know this goodness and unrelenting love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the lengthening and the healing of my days." In reading this psalm again, with somewhat different words than I was used to and that I had memorized as a kid to pray at each meal, my brain was able to meditate on the text a little more, and I was reminded of a few things. First, I remembered some things about shepherds. Shepherds in the ancient world, they were many things. The picture of a shepherd was often used to describe a good leader, someone who was compassionate and sensitive, discerning. People would compare the king of the day to a shepherd if they were a good leader, leading with gentleness, with grace, and with kindness. But at the same time, shepherds were also known to be a little dirty after camping with sheep 24/7 for weeks, and they were sometimes considered too gross or wild for polite company. It reminded me that God the shepherd comes into my questions this week and always. And perhaps, maybe God feels the pain with me and maybe even swears with me in grief and anger as things happen. Perhaps the shepherd can take our pain and emotions and hold them without trying to smooth them over and fix us. Our dirt won't make our shepherd unclean. Our shepherd already is and is glad to be there with us. The psalm also depicts God as fiercely protective, just like Steve was saying earlier. Perhaps it's a bit like Wonder Woman is protective of her humanity in her new movie. Maybe you've seen that. The shepherd uses a staff to hook us and pull us to safety, just like Steve was telling us, pulls us to where we should be for health and thriving. And the shepherd also has a rod as well that is used to beat back the wolves who come to eat the sheep. This reminds me, God isn't there to wound us, but to take care of us, to care for who we are. God the shepherd also leads us in well-worn grooves in the trail that the shepherd has taken before to bring us on a safe path. The way before us is known to God the shepherd. And perhaps, most of all, while the psalm has been addressed to use has been used to describe a shallow peace that doesn't address pain, it isn't written as a platitude. Far from it. In fact, ancient shepherds would often have to walk sheep through dry riverbeds where there was no water, where wild and hungry animals would take shelter out of the sun, and where temperatures would drop to freezing at night. These valleys of shadow were dangerous and caused shepherds to work twice as hard to protect their sheep and to get them what they needed. Psalm 23 does not pretend that shepherding is all cuddly sheep and green grass and sunshine. It doesn't brush over this valley of the shadow of death. It mentions it, it addresses it, it says that suffering is real and deeply painful, and it's written specifically for the places of pain that we find ourselves in. It gives no platitudes. This is a psalm written not as a shallow version of peace that only comes without conflict, but instead as a psalm that's meant to be read in the midst of conflict and in the midst of fear and despair. It names it. It doesn't overlook our despair, but instead tells of God's character in the midst of despair and God's response to our despair. The whole psalm is written in the context of death, The centering verse is, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So for ourselves and our lives, for what we hear on the news, for Charlena's family, we find Psalm 23 a text that doesn't give us something trite. We see that God knows the valley of shadows and acknowledges to us that death is real. We may still be in the valley with our unemployment, in our loneliness, in our sickness and questions, in doubt, in the death of people that we love, but we can claim this: we have a shepherd, and that shepherd is with us. The shepherd knows the valley of the shadow of death like we know the back of our own hand. The shepherd does not pretend our suffering is not real and won't try to make us feel better right away when we simply cannot. Our shepherd walks through this valley too. His valley of shadows did indeed lead to death. Death as a convicted criminal. Our shepherd screamed in anguish from the cross and asked of God, "Why have you forsaken me?" If there is anyone who knows this valley of shadows that our city wrestles with now, that we wrestle with in our own lives, it is our God. And finally, I made it to the final verse of the prayer phrase psalm for our class that we came up with. The Hebrew words implied here a sense of length and health. But what did it mean that we could dwell in the house of the Lord for the lengthening and healing of our days? What does that mean? It was a weird image, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. But I did once meet a kid who showed me a bit of what this could mean. When I lived in Chicago, I really missed the Northwest. I missed the nature. I used to take walks through the Chicago parks, and one afternoon, when I was in the middle of one of these walks, a young man ran up to me and stopped me. He was maybe 11, maybe. And he was carrying something, and I couldn't quite see what it was. But before I could even ask, I could see that he was crying. He asks me for help, and in that moment, he opens up his arms to show me what he has in his arms. And the kid is cradling a live duck in his arms. It's just sitting there in his arms. I was so surprised. This is a live duck complete with webbed feet and feathers and an adorable beak. So I'm a little shocked around at the joggers and the people playing soccer, and I'm thinking, is anyone else seeing what I'm seeing? How did he catch this duck? I have a lot of questions. Here he is. He's holding a live duck in his arms, but before I can even pull myself together to ask this boy what's going on, he tells me that his name is Yusuf. He tells me that he just moved to Chicago with his grandmother from Iraq because his grandmother needed surgery on her back, and they had the opportunity to get surgery in Chicago. And then he begins to cry again, and he tells me that as he's sitting playing in the park, he saw the duck waddling across the path, and he acts it out as the duck is in his arms. So he sees the duck waddling across the path, and then he saw a bicyclist ride by and run over the duck's leg, breaking it in half. And to show me, Yusuf turns over the duck in his arms and shows me the leg broken, bloodied, and also wrapped lovingly with toilet paper in some sort of makeshift splint. And as he shows me this toilet paper masterpiece cast, Yusuf tells me that he wants desperately to become a veterinarian. He told me stories of how he had stitched up other animals when he was back home and nursed other little creatures back to health. And as I called animal shelters in the area, Yusuf asked me about how he could go to veterinary school, because apparently I look like I know. And finally, I was able to get a hold of a group called the Bird and Dog Rescue People, who take care of wounded animals in the area on weekends. And Yusuf and I, we sit down on the curb at the edge of the park, and we wait for them to arrive to take this duck to safety. Eventually, I'm able to pry the duck out of Yusuf's arms. He loves this duck. And I put it in a paper bag to keep it safer and out of reach of the other kids in the park. These bird and dog rescue people were slow to come and find us, and we waited and we waited and we waited. Yusuf and I talked some more. And Yusuf kept opening the bag to talk to the duck. He said, "You're going to be okay. We've got someone coming to help you." And I heard him whisper, "I love you." And I told him a couple times that I could wait for the person, and he could go home to his grandma, who was probably terrified, not knowing where he was. But Yusuf would not budge until that duck was in good care. He wouldn't leave the wounded duck alone. He kept his hand on the bag, and he kept the bag close. We waited together on that sidewalk until the sky began to get dark and the fireflies were swarming around and the cement started to cool from the hot day. And I kept wondering, why am I sitting here waiting for a duck? But finally, someone showed up with a car and took the duck, and Yusuf and I went our separate ways, me to my apartment and Yusuf to his grandmother and dreams of veterinary school. Psalm 23. It tells us that we will dwell in the house of the Lord for the lengthening and healing of our days. I learned recently that when we get an injury, fall off a bike or scrape up our skin or something more serious happens, our skin, the muscles and ligaments and tendons and things, they're separated. They aren't tied together in one continuous piece anymore, but they're split apart. What happens as we heal is that our tendons and muscles and ligaments and skin stretches again to meet the parts of itself that were split when we were injured. And this healing takes time, but eventually, all those pieces of ourselves, they come back together to touch again, and they attach. And we no longer have a hole where we were injured, but we are healthy. This takes time, but it does happen. And this, I think, is what this psalm is about. We walk through the valley of the deepest shadows and of death. Some of us have been there a long time. Whoever you may be, you've weathered some sort of storm, or perhaps you're in the middle of one. We become wounded, and the ligaments and tendons of our souls are cut apart. There are gaping holes where we once felt we had it together. Henry Nouwen says of our tendency to try to fix things, he says, when we honestly ask ourselves which person in our lives means the most to us, we often find that it is those who, instead of giving advice, solutions, or cures, have chosen rather to share our pain and touch our wounds with a warm and tender hand. We walk through valleys of shadows and death, but Henry Nouwen describes Yusuf's approach to pain and God's approach to pain. There are no platitudes or advice or quick solutions. God is like Yusuf, the little Iraqi wannabe veterinarian who never deserts the wounded out of great love. Where the ligaments of our hearts are ripped apart with grief and confusion, where the skin of our souls are layered in doubt and mistrust, we are not left alone. We are not left without someone who knows that it simply takes time for our wounds to stretch and meet back together again in wholeness. God embraces us and never deserts us out of great love. We can be ourselves in our hurt and our struggle. That is a grace to me. God stays with us the whole way without judgment, allowing the ligaments and tendons of our souls to stretch and create new health where there were pain and wounds. And perhaps, as we learn from God's approach to the valley of the shadow of death, maybe too, we can learn to be with each other there. Rachel Held Evans also states, there's a difference between curing and healing. And I believe the church is called to the slow and difficult work of healing. We are called to enter into one another's pain, anointed as holy, and stick around no matter what the outcome. Just like Yusuf did with the duck, just like God does with us. We have many valleys. Our city is still in turmoil and is sitting vigil after Charlena's death, who was a sister in faith. We also have our own valleys in our daily lives. But as God's doubting and confused and angry children, we don't cease to be children. We aren't kicked out of the house of the Lord. We aren't kicked out of God's presence. We have sustained wounds, but we are not kicked out of the house of the Lord until we get it together and lose our doubt, until we're happy and doing fine. We're welcome to dwell there in our doubt and nervousness and ache while our souls stretch and find hope, peace, and rest, and the love of God. God holds us in God's arms like Yusuf held the wounded duck, and no one can pry us from that place. God stays with us for the lengthening and the healing of our days, no matter how long it takes. Amen. Will you please pray with me?